Well, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this evening is a portion of our lection for this night, reading the 27th and 28th verses once again from Luke 21. And let us arise as we hear these words. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Here ends the reading of our text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in your truth, for this your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. I remember well a lesson I learned as a young child. As I was growing up, one of the things that I like to do with my five-year younger brother is to tease him to no end. In fact, some might say I literally terrorized him whenever I could. And one day, as I was carrying about one of my favorite activities of terrorizing my brother, my mom started yelling. Well, that was from the other room, so that was no threat. So I kept on teasing him. And finally, my little brother screamed out. And next thing I know, Mom yelled and was coming after me. But I was too quick. I was too strong. I just dodged her like a running back around a very slow defensive line. And I got away. As I was heading out the door, Mom came to the door. And as I looked back, I could see her yelling out the back door at me, "You just wait until your dad gets home." And underneath the apron strings, my mom was my little brother just smiling. You know, the Christian church of the ages has truly been terrorized, persecuted. And because of its witness and in the testimony of Jesus Christ, many have suffered greatly throughout the ages. Some have died. And we must recognize, even now, that there are those in the church who suffer physically, mentally, and many of which are suffering even death for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In the text we read tonight, and as we consider this theme this week, the church is a lot like little brother, standing under the arms of God's grace, and looking out at the world that persecutes it and saying, "You just wait. Christ is coming." For all those who fear and repent and turn to God for his mercy, we rejoice with that. But for those who continue to blaspheme the name of our Lord, who persecute his church, there's a warning here. Christ is coming. For believers, it's totally a different view, isn't it? And that's what our text shows us tonight. As we consider this year's theme of God's children rejoice, let us consider tonight our theme, God's children will rejoice on the day of our Lord's return. While our focus on Advent is often on the physical coming of Christ, certainly we would be neglectful not to talk about this second coming, the second coming of our Lord and his glorious return at the end of the ages. That too is an Advent that we celebrate and look forward to. Jesus came in great humility the first time when he came in flesh. As a humble child of Bethlehem, born of a virgin, he did not come as a glorious king, but he came as a humble child born of a virgin. He himself lived a life in humility. And no one would be threatened by this one who had come to be king, except one very paranoid, ruthless king of old. Yes, we know him as King Herod. He was fearful of his crown. He was jealous of anyone or anything, including his own children, should they in some way appear to him to pose a threat to his reign. And so when any time there was a speaking or some kind of message or some kind of a clue that someone else might reign in his stead, the whole of the people feared. He was a ruthless earthly king. But the Savior, our Lord Jesus, came in great humility and peace. He came as the Prince of Peace. He came to establish a kingdom of peace. Yes, he came not wrapped in all his armor and weaponry, but he came was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. The desire of this king was not to take all the powerful and to place him under them under his rule, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Even now, he would rule, not as a kingdom of power on earth, but over his kingdom of grace as he comes to us through word and sacrament. And we celebrate this coming of our Lord Jesus in mercy. We celebrate his coming through word and sacrament to create faith in our hearts that we might believe and thus be saved as we trust in his mercy. However, his return will be quite different mode at the end of the age. And he will come in all his glory with the holy angels. And we know it is said in the scriptures that the whole of creation will seem to mourn at that day. Those who rose up against him, those who persecute his church, will even be heard to say, "Mountains fall on us, hills cover us," for the dread of that day. But amidst of that frightening message, we hear the Lord's voice speaking to us through his word tonight. For he is assuring us that as we come to him for his mercy, he is directing us to look to him with eager expectation. He tells us, when you see these things happening, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Consider that picture in Revelation when the fifth seal is opened. And the Apostle John in this revelation sees the altar in heaven, and a door is opened, and out from under the altar come these people who are, we are told, the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They came out and they asked the question, the same question we often will ask as followers of Christ in a world that is so filled with sin and trial as we continue to dwell here. We ask the question, how long? They asked, how long? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? As we consider that picture, we certainly can understand what they're thinking. But at the same time, we know that the Lord will, at the end of the age, no longer come in mercy, but in judgment. And all that will change. Everything that we know of as it is today in the world will change in but a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And all those who will see him on earth, who have despised him, those even who pierced him, will mourn. They will mourn the day of judgment, for it has come, and the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. You know, the saints on earth have all forms of persecution brought upon them. One of them is certainly, as the rest of the world and even those in the church attack the word. There was an elderly saint, a seasoned saint, if you would, from my former parish back in Ohio that came to me one day. You could see the distress on her face. You could see it as she came and said, "Pastor, look what was in the paper." And the article that she held in her hand was one on what some of you may recall as the Jesus Seminar. And the title of that article was very revealing about the article itself. It said, "Bible Scholars Doubt Jesus' Promised Return to Earth." It had frightened her so. And it said in that article that later writers put on Jesus' lips this idea of the second return. We recognize the camp that these so-called theologians and scholars were from. The camp of the higher critics who doubt God's word and who throw many people off the path of faith by their lies. And we say to such people in the world today, you just wait till Jesus comes again. If they had studied the scriptures, they wouldn't say that it was later people who had put this on the lips of Jesus. But it was already in Daniel that we see that first prophecy of this final day. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, we read, "Behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away." And also we read these things in the four Gospels, as well as the epistles. And yes, our text tonight. Yes, Christ will come again with great power and glory. Yeah, this we are assured of in God's holy word. That as sure as the prophecies were fulfilled in his first coming, when he came in the flesh, so shall it be with his second coming. And in that day, those children of God who rejoice in his first coming will also rejoice at his second coming. And thus we learn that the time that we have here in this world, and for all that matter, everyone who still dwells in the world, is a time of grace. There is still a time when they can turn from their evil ways and live. That's why we take time in such seasons as Advent, which is a penitential season, to confess our sins and to confess our doubts and to lay our sins before the Lord, who himself has paid for each and every one, who not only came in the flesh as a little babe, but lived the holy life in our place, that he may obtain the righteous robe that we need, so that we can stand before God knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have given to us that wonderful, beautiful clothing that Christ himself gives us, his perfect righteousness. And we can stand with all the host of heaven above and worship and praise the Lamb who was slain for us. And we can take the spotted garments that we have here and with full assurance have them washed and made white in the blood of this Lamb. This is the God who has saved us. This is the God who has come as a babe of Bethlehem, who on the cross paid the full penalty for our sins, and who has, through his blessed word, invited us to believe in him, to trust in him, and to know our sins are for his sake truly forgiven. That's why we rejoice in these words tonight and know that we will rejoice when Christ comes in all his glory. For he himself has invited us to stand up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. Could we ever hope for a more joyous time? Could there ever be a more joyous thing to us than to know that on that final day, for the sake of Christ, we can stand and rejoice with all the saints in the glorious redemption that is in Christ. Yes, we rejoice at the coming of our Lord. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his coming to us through word and sacrament. And we will rejoice on that day when the horizon lights up and he comes in all his glory. For we will know that not only is our redemption drawing near, but it's here. Amen.